Okay, before you forget, I just wondered if we could go through those J-O-Y thing. What does J stand for?
Jesus.
O?
Others.
And Y? Kind of giving you the answers there. Why do I show you that? You know, we're doing this series on confronting culture. And if we take that seriously, it's pretty hard, isn't it? Because we're just immersed in a culture that says that we're first. I mean, God isn't, others aren't, we're first. And it embraces that thought everywhere. It markets that thought everywhere. We're inundated with me first, me first, me first, me first. And so we've talked a lot about different things in this series that kind of confront that idea that everything's about me. Now, today I want to challenge you with this just a little bit. I want to thank you guys for letting me preach at Holy Cross last weekend and doing a video here. We wanted to see how that worked, and I just celebrate that because it allowed me to be in two places at one time, which is just incredible. And as we kind of go out and we help this church in South Scottsdale, it's an exciting enterprise. If you've been there, you know that there's some things that they just need help with, that there's reasons they are where they are, but they've given us an amazing chance to come in and to help them refine a footing that helps maybe save their church so they don't have to close and sets them up for years and years to come. And so it's essentially saving a preaching station in the valley, and that's exciting news. But there's a lot of churches that would never, ever allow something like that to happen. But you guys, and if you guys remember the sermon title last week, it's not about you. Yeah, I know we forget by Wednesday everything I talk about, but the reality is that's what it was about. It's not about us, right? And the fact that you guys allowed that to happen said, at least for this Sunday, right, it's going to be about Holy Cross, and we're going to celebrate what Pastor's doing there, and we're going to celebrate what Pastor John's doing there, and we're going to celebrate that he can be in two places at one time because, you know, I guess we have technology. So we're going to celebrate that because of what God is doing. I love that. But again, there's a lot of churches that couldn't do that because they want it to be about who? All about them. And so I want you to think about that as we go through this, because I want to bring up another thing that I think we get stuck on in culture, okay? We've talked about a lot of things so far, but I want to take a look today at how do you survive this pleasure-crazed, pleasure-seeking culture that we live in. Anybody diminish or dismiss that we live in that kind of culture? No, we just do. And it's interesting, too, because God made us with this capacity to enjoy pleasure. It's an incredible gift that he's given us. It was his idea. He gave us the five senses, right? He gave us hearing, taste, touch, smell, and feeling. Life was to be enjoyed. God wanted us to enjoy this creation that he made. He wanted us to have fun as we go through life. It was his idea. He made us to enjoy this amazing world of ours and the benefits of it. But the problem today is, and at least in our culture, is that this pleasure seeking has become not just something that's good, like God says, but it's become an obsession. It's not just a good thing, again, like God says, but it's become the main goal in life. It's the ultimate value. For a lot of people today, having fun, right, has literally become their God. God says this in 1 Timothy 6:17. He says, he richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. I love that. But in 2 Timothy 3:4, he says this, in the last days there will be people who prefer good times to worshiping God. Anybody like that? Yeah. Every Super Bowl Sunday. It's a crazy thing. Just objectively, can we all take a step back? On Super Bowl Sunday, when is the game? It's like 4 or 6 o'clock. It's later in the evening, right? So how does that complicate your 8 o'clock or your 9:30 or 11 o'clock attendance? I get how it affects the evening service. I understand that. But it just can't possibly affect your whole day. And yet every Super Bowl Sunday, we have less people coming in the doors. Why? Well, because something else on that particular Sunday held more sway. The reality is that we absolutely know people that make everything about the fun in life. The reality that we live in a culture where pleasure has become its primary god. The only thing that ever rivals it is money, but usually money in the pursuit of what? Some kind of happiness. So how do you live a Christian life in that kind of environment? Because at some level it has to affect us too, doesn't it? Let's just kind of do a test on that. Because even in our daily conversations as Christians, right, I think we get caught up in this. You hear phrases that you picked up from the world that indicate that pleasure is the most important thing in life. So here's a couple tests. If it feels good, how'd you guys know that one? Don't worry, be, thank God it's, now why isn't it Monday? Like, thank God it's Monday. I can't wait to get started this. Okay, are we having fun? It doesn't get any better than, These kind of things indicate that we live in a very experience-oriented society, where the ultimate question really is, how does it make me feel? It's an interesting, when you do studies on all the generations like we did, about a half year back now, but when you look at the millennials, one of their primary things, at least according to the studies, is they want the experiences of life more than anything else, more than money, more than just anything else. They want to have relationships that make them feel good. They want to go on trips and have experiences that make them feel like this was worth it. They want the experience. They want the feeling more than anything else. More than anything else, they seem to have made that experience the most important thing in life. Example of that, I went to Shell Station the other day, get some gas, and I filled up, and I put in my card and got the receipt, and literally it said this on the receipt, Shell Oil Company, experience the difference. It's a gas station, right? I don't know. Maybe you guys experience it differently. I don't know the difference between, you know, filling up at Shell or Mobil or Exxon or Valero or any of those other places. But it was interesting that they wanted me to experience the difference. Maybe the smells, the sights, I don't know. But it just says that even the gas companies realize that this is a big item in life. Even the gas companies want you to feel like they care. Heard a book one time called The Unreality Industry. It said pleasure is now big business in America today. It's what drives the economy. We're in a 24-hour entertainment society now. Everything has to entertain us. Even the news on television has to be entertaining or something that solicits some kind of fear that makes you want to tune in the next day. But it has to be exciting. It has to be entertaining. It's why they just don't share the good news, because that's not enough to get you to tune in the next day. It's got to do something to bring you back. Go to the bank and you stand in line, and what happens? They got stuff all over the walls. They got TVs showing so that there's something for you to do while you're standing in line. Why? Because they think that you have to be entertained. Why? Because you really do, because you get bored really quick. Or even in the doctor's office, I noticed they now have a TV promoting different medicines, like I know what any of them do anyway. I don't know, but I found myself watching it. Why? Because I was bored and didn't know what else to do. Even church has to be entertaining for some people today. I guess giving God's forgiveness, or the reminder that you're forgiven and loved by this amazing God, reminding you that he's with you and gives you strength, reminding you that he's working all things for your good, isn't enough on a week-to-week basis, that sometimes we just demand more. I read a book that was called We Are Amusing Ourselves to Death by Neil Postman. He said in the 18th century, America was represented by Boston. In the 19th and 20th centuries, America was represented by Chicago and New York. But now in the 21st century, he said, we're represented by Vegas, a city completely devoted to the entertainment industry. As I finished the book, I guess, I was going through my email, and not surprisingly, I found an email inviting me to where? Vegas. I said, yeah, baby. No, I'm just kidding. But the weird thing is our whole society is now built on this for some reason. Let's have fun. Let's go from one fun thing to the next fun thing to the next fun thing. Let's keep having fun. Today's environment is easy to be caught up to the point where you begin to think like everybody else does. That my whole purpose in life is really just to enjoy myself. But that's not true, is it? Life is so much more significant than you being put on this earth simply to go to the next fun thing. I mean, we just did a series, I don't know, a couple series back on the purpose of life. Anybody remember the purpose of life? Know God, love God, follow God, essentially, right? He wants to, and why is that important, that we know God, that we love God, that we follow him? Because where do you want to be one day? Heaven, right? I mean, because the other alternative isn't so good. Hell is weeping and gnashing of teeth. Heaven, awesome, right? So you got the two choices, so you want to go to heaven. And knowing God and getting to know God and experiencing his love and receiving his forgiveness and following his path, man, all those things help secure our eternity in ways that nothing else will. That's the purpose of life. Heaven, it's about heaven. It's about getting from this life here through Jesus to be with him for eternity in heaven. But we get caught up in so many other things as we're going through life. We begin to think that our whole purpose of life is just to enjoy ourselves. So the question becomes, then, how do I as a Christian wander through this environment without being sucked into this system? Starting to think myself that the whole purpose of life is just to enjoy myself. How do I keep from getting sucked into this pleasure-driven culture? And so God, this morning, he shares three pieces of advice with us from his word. He says, I love you guys so much. I want you to have tools so that you can balance this worldview, right? So that you can understand what's truly important, so that you can remember. And one of the first things he gives us is this. He goes, I want you to remember what the real purpose in life is. To know God, to love God, to follow God, right? It's about Jesus. It's about receiving his forgiveness. It's about following him. It's about being in heaven one day. That's the purpose of life. And he says, I want you to continually remind yourself of that over and over and over so that you don't forget it. Because life is way more, right? The purpose of life is way more than just being entertained, and it's way more than just having fun, and it's way more than just experiencing thrills, and it's way more than just feeling good. It's a much bigger purpose than that. The purpose of life is even more than retirement. I know that's almost sacrilegious in our culture today, right? It's almost heretical because in America, we believe in, it's even in our Constitution, that we can pursue life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But God did not create you simply to have as your main goal in life retirement. It's more than that. They did a study one time in New York State, and they discovered that one half of all the men in the state of New York died within 2 years after retirement. Why? Because God did not make us for 24 hours a day leisure. We were not made simply to get up, go have fun, and go to bed. We were made for a purpose. God has purpose for you in this life. And if the purpose is know God, love God, follow him, your purpose is to share other people with other people that path, to share with other people who Jesus is, to share with other people about the forgiveness and reconciliation of God. He has a plan, God does, and he has a purpose for you. And it involves simply more than traveling around the country looking at things. And so if you're alive today, you can know that God has a purpose for you in particular. He has a purpose for your life. And it's just destructive on us when we begin to think that all it's about is the next fun time. A buddy of mine was in the grocery store the other day, and he was listening to the cashier. She says, I just live for the weekend. Anybody ever heard that? Sure. You even get what she's saying, right? But as you think about it, right, just a little bit, what a superficial purpose to live for. Life becomes defined by how soon can I get to the next night out of town, or how soon can I get to the golf course again, or how soon can I get another shopping spree, or how soon can I get to the next cocktail party, or how soon can I get to the next movie that just came out. Life becomes defined simply by pleasure, which is a pretty shallow purpose and which doesn't introduce us to Jesus and which doesn't do anything about our eternity. It's interesting. Peter writes in 1 Peter 4, verse 2 and 4, he says, from now on, live the rest of your lives controlled by God's will, not by human desires. He's saying you have two options in life. You can either live by being controlled by God's will, or you can be controlled by, if it feels good, do it. Peter continues on, and he says this, you spend enough time in the past doing what the pagans do. Your lives are spent in indecency and lust and drunkenness and orgies and drinking parties. And now when you don't join them, they insult you. But they will give an account of themselves to God. And so God says, remember the purpose. Remember it's about me. Remember it's about me loving you so much that I sent my son. Remember it's about forgiveness and following me and being with me in heaven. Remember that's the purpose. Because we're playing for huge stakes in this life of ours. We truly are. We're playing for heaven or we're playing for hell. There's only one of two destinations. And life and Satan and the world try to get us caught up in everything but what's truly important. So God goes on. He says, I give you another thing. I want you to enjoy balanced living. Why? Because I love you guys. In other words, life is a balancing act. And in the book of Ecclesiastes, the Bible says there's a time for everything. There's a time to cry and a time to laugh. There's a time to play and a time to work. There's a time for seriousness and there's a time for silliness. And both of them are God's will. Did you know that neither seriousness or silliness is more godly than the other? Did you know that? But they each have a time, a purpose in the ebb and flow of life. There's variety and we need balance. You are not designed to work all the time. You're not designed to be serious all the time. I'll give you an example of that. Sometimes in traditional worship, but in all worship services, sometimes you watch people coming forward for communion. They got these serious looks on their faces. And that's cool because, you know, you should be confessing your sins. You're humbling yourself before God. You're thinking of all the terrible things that you've done. You're bringing them before God. I mean, you're like, I'm pretty much a mess here. So you are serious. But on the way back, you should be grins and giggles. Why? Because he just forgave you. He says, you're forgiven in my name. You come into the presence of him, of God himself, right? He says, I'm present with you. It's like he's giving you a big hug saying, not only do I forgive you, but I love you. I've got you. You're mine. Go and start this new life. Go and begin again. Go and make right what you've broken or whatever. But you are forgiven. Go enjoy. Scripture does say, too, that you're not supposed to work all the time. In fact, God put recreation in the Ten Commandments. The third commandment says, every seventh day you are to take a day off. That's how important rest and relaxation and recreation is. Now, I know some of you probably don't need this message. You're workaholics, so you probably need to hear the other message about working more fun into your life, more balance into your life. But the prevailing thing in our culture today is, how soon can I get to the next pleasurable experience? And if you want a model for balanced living, you got to look at Jesus. He was no ascetic. He knew how to have fun. He went to parties, it says. In fact, one of my favorite verses is Matthew 11:19. Jesus came enjoying life. And if he can, so can we. I guess the point I want to make is this. If you don't plan for healthy pleasures in your life, the world will seduce you with unhealthy ones. Probably the most important thing I'll say today. If you don't plan for healthy vehicles of pleasure in your life, recreation, rest, relaxation in your life, you will be tempted and seduced by unhealthy ones, and they are literally everywhere. Which just leads us to the third thing, piece of encouragement that God has for us. Avoid destructive pleasures. It's the third thing that we need to do in our culture today. There are some activities that God says very clearly in Scripture, just stay away from. And why does he say it? Because he loves you? Because he knows sin complicates your life? Because he knows sin makes things just frustrating and hard and difficult? Because he knows there always are negative consequences to the sin in our life? So he says, don't do it, stay away from it, and you will be way happier. Ephesians 5, he says, don't get drunk then. It doesn't say don't have a drink. That's not what it says. But it does say, as clear as it can be, don't get intoxicated. Why? Because you're letting something control you that's not God. When you're drunk, you're not in control, right? The alcohol is. It's the opposite of self-control, and Scripture speaks all over the place in Scripture about being in control of yourself. In 2 Peter 2:19, it says, don't get addicted to anything. It could be anything, really. Television, Madden football, as we've discussed before, bodybuilding, jogging, anything. It says, don't get addicted to anything. Why? Because there should be only one master in your life, and that should be God. In 1 Corinthians 6:18, it says, don't get involved in sexual immorality. You have a lot less heartache in your life if you follow that, a lot less disease in your life if you follow that. I say that because there was a stat in the Arizona Republic 2 years ago that read this way. Half of all high schoolers will have sex by the time they graduate high school. Half of those girls will get an STD on their first sexual encounter. All the laws, don't you see, all the prohibitions in Scripture are for your own benefit, for your protection, because God loves you. There's not just God up there impetuously saying, I'm just going to make life miserable for everybody. That's not why he does it. They're for your benefit so that you can enjoy life. In Titus 2, verse 11 and 12, it says, for the grace of God teaches us to say no to worldly passions and to live self-controlled lives. God says, just say no. I know we all think somebody else came up with that slogan, you know, but 2,000 years ago, Jesus was saying, just say no. But it's a weird thing today. A lot of Christians are embarrassed to use the word no in a lot of different situations. Somebody offers them a particular pleasure, which they know isn't good for them, which they know isn't beneficial for their life, which they know God is not for but against. But they get too embarrassed to say no. But there's no embarrassment in that, right? In fact, psychologists have a word for the function of being unable to say no, and they call it addiction. I realize in an audience this size this morning that there's probably a lot of us that are struggling with addiction in different ways. I mean, you just look at the studies out there today, pornography is rampant. It is affecting more people than you could possibly imagine. You got alcohol, you got addiction to pain meds and to other kinds of drugs. You got people that are addicted to all sorts of unhealthy behaviors in life, and it's destroying things, and it's destroying relationships, and it's destroying their ability to hear God and to see God. And so you start asking in the midst of all that, is there any hope? The answer is absolutely. In Titus 3, verse 3 through 5, it says, for we ourselves were once slaves to passion and pleasure of all kinds. But when the kindness and love of God appeared, it saved us and it gave us a new life. The good news is that a new life is available. Do we get that? That because of Jesus, there is forgiveness, and there is strength, and there is peace, and there is hope, and there is joy, and there's heaven, and the list goes on and on and on. You don't have to stay trapped anymore. Now, I know I keep saying that life isn't about you, and I know that's a hard thing if we're honestly wrestling with that, because as we looked at things today, we stink at this. But if we're honestly going to look at this and say life's got to be more about God and less about me, and we have to deal with that, then part of us is saying, well, what about me, though, still, because we grew up in this culture. God says, you can make it all about others because I make it all about you. And I'll give you some examples of that. Jesus is all about you. God's word, his truth, all about you. The strength that he gives us to deal with life as it comes, all about you. The forgiveness that he wins for us on the cross so that we can forget our past, right? And not have to beat ourselves up anymore, all about you. The fact that he walks with us every step of the way, all about you. The fact that he offers us peace, not just because we have a strength, not just because he walks with us, because he promises to work all things for our good, all about you. Because of that peace, we have hope that God is continually with us. The hope, all about you. Heaven, all about you. God walks with you through this life. He loves you more than you can comprehend to fill your needs, to satisfy your longings, to help you deal with your struggles. He cares about you because he wants you to be with him in heaven. And he is the thing that satisfies, not this world. But we get caught up in all the other stuff. But the thing is, God says, I don't want you to stay trapped anymore. It's not an admission of failure to admit that you're an addict. It's a mission of courage. It just says, I want to take control back of my life. I want to be under God's control because clearly he knows what he's doing. And the good news is when you come to know Christ, not only does he give you the capacity to experience God and have a relationship with God like you never have before, but through that relationship, he allows you to experience a life with others like you've never experienced before, and then to experience a life in this world like you've never experienced before, because you're finally in tune with the one who made you and gets how you work and understands what you need. And that's what people are ultimately looking for today. Because nowhere to not recognize it or not, what the world has been searching for and all their yearnings and all their different things as the answer to life is Jesus. And so he says, come to me and know what true happiness and forgiveness and hope is all about. Come to the one who loves you, he says. And all God's people said, amen. Father, we love you so much, and we just thank you for today. I love this series in the sense that it's just causing us, if we're being honest, if we just kind of humble ourselves and look at our lives, it's causing us to look at the me first part of the situation here, Lord, that it's causing us to look at some of our underlying issues that cause some of the complications and some of the frustrations and some of the things going on. It's the things that keep us from hearing that we're forgiven. It's the things that keep us from knowing that you're with us. It's the things that preoccupy us so much that we forget the purpose of life. Father, help us remember this morning and give us the strength truly to trust you for more and more and more. We pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.